Mr. Renner will read the ordinance.
Please take your seats. We'll call the meeting of the McLean County Board to order. We'll start with an invocation by Member Owens, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together where we can gather and have healthy debate and discussion. May our discussion be fruitful and civil, and we just again thank you for all that are present. We do think of Member Butler as he has eye surgery today, with the doctor's wisdom as they do the procedure. May he have a speedy recovery. Thank you for all you've given to us and for the wonderful harvest that will be coming forth in the upcoming weeks. Give the farmers safety as they are out in the fields, and that may this year's crop be bountiful. We thank you for all you've given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Rakauskas.
Here.
Rankin.
Here.
Renner.
Here.
Segoviano.
Here.
Soldner.
Here.
Wendt.
Present.
Walrab. Ahart.
Present.
Bostic.
Here.
Butler is absent. Kaisley.
Present.
Cavallini.
Here.
Gordon.
Here.
Hasselton.
Here.
McIntyre.
Here.
Moss.
Present.
Knuckles.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Owens.
Present.
Sorensen.
Present. 18 members present. We have a quorum. No requests by members of the public. We have a consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from consent? Motion Segoviano, second Cavallini to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. With that, I would like to invite Chairman Renner of the Justice Committee to the podium. I'd also like to invite Ms. Deb White to the podium from the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence.
Do we have the resolution?
Yes, we do.
Sorry about the delay here. The resolution of the McLean County Board proclaiming Tuesday, October 6th, 2009 as its Time to Talk Day and the month of October 2009 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month in McLean County. And again, I think I can read this without Member Rakauskas's glasses. Whereas domestic violence affects women, men, and children of all racial, social, religions, ethnic, and economic groups in McLean County. And whereas domestic violence is one of the most pervasive problems in our society, and whereas open discussion is the first step in promoting healthy relationships and overcoming domestic violence, and whereas the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence and Partners have established It's Time to Talk Day on October 6, 2009, and the month of October is established each year nationally as Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and whereas media personalities, government officials, domestic violence advocates, businesses, and the public at large will be taking a moment to talk openly about an issue that affects every aspect of a community's safety and wellness, and whereas the McLean County chapter of the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence and Radio Bloomington are co-sponsoring It's Time to Talk Day activities to raise awareness throughout local communities as part of October's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Be it resolved that the McLean County Board now meeting in regular session as follows. One, the McLean County Board hereby proclaims Tuesday, October 6, 2009 as its Time to Talk Day in McLean County and the month of October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month in McLean County. Two, the McLean County Board hereby urges all county residents to take a moment to talk to their children about healthy relationships, to remind those in abusive relationships that they are not alone and help is available, and to encourage the development of domestic violence policies in the workplace. 3. The McLean County Board hereby further directs the county clerk to forward a certified copy of this proclamation to the McLean County Chapter of the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence, the risk manager, the county clerk, and the county administrator. Adopted by the McLean County Board this 15th day of September of 2009. Thank you. Congratulations.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Well, on behalf of the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence and 28 other local organizations, I want to thank you so much for both proclamations so that we can begin conversations and continue conversations about domestic violence in McLean County. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. White. Reports of the Standing Committee's Executive Committee, Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'd like to turn it back to the Chairman for the recommendation on the appointment to the position of County Auditor.
Yeah, it was part of consent. Thank you very much, Vice Chairman Owens. I can tell you, as I deliberated thinking about which name to put into nomination for the position of county auditor, after having a great auditor like Jackie Dozier in that office for as many years as we had her, I was relieved to know that the taxpayers of McLean County weren't going to be misserved regardless of my decision. But at the same time, I am very pleased to place the name of Michelle Anderson in nomination for the position of county auditor. Is there a motion? Motion Segoviano, second Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Ms. Anderson, congratulations, and please come forward to be sworn in.
Anderson, having been appointed to the office of County Auditor in the County of McLean in the state of Illinois, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of McLean County Auditor to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Executive Committee Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the only item for action today by the Executive Committee. Our general report can be found on pages 38 through 44. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Vice Chairman Owens of the Executive Committee? None heard. Transportation Committee, Chairman Hosselton.
Mr. Chairman, we have no items for board action this morning. Our general reports can be found on pages 50 to 60. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Chairman Hosselton of the Transportation Committee? And heard. Finance Committee, Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have two items for action today. C1A is a request approval of a 2010 Rural Public Transportation Downstate Operating Assistance Grant Agreement between the State of Illinois Department of Transportation, Division of Public and Intermodal Transportation, and McLean County Show Bus through Building and Zoning. I would so move.
Motion Owens, second Hosselton. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
Thank you. C1B is a request approval of a resolution of the McLean County Board approving the request received from the McLean County Clerk to change polling places. This is in the Empire Township. We do have a letter from Patrick Brown, who is the Empire Township Supervisor, supporting the request, and it's through County Clerk, and I would so move.
Motion Owens, second Saldner. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
Thank you. Another item for information is that we have had About 500,000 did come in about 2 weeks ago from the state of Illinois, bringing up our probation officer reimbursements up to date, which the committee has shown frustration over the last few months. And again, did want to make that announcement that those monies have come in. So again, we appreciate the state and sending that payment to us. There is no general report for the Finance Committee. We had a stand-up this morning to approve the two items plus the report of the Treasurer.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Chairman Owens of the Finance Committee? None heard. Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
The Justice Committee brings two items for action. Item D1A is request approval of the Task Force Drug Unit Interagency Agreement with the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority for a pass-through grant of $64,106 in the Sheriff's Department, and I so move that.
Thank you. Motion Renner, second McIntyre. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
And item D1B is request approval of an extension of the redeploy grant from the State of Illinois Department of Human Services Community Services Agreement for fiscal year 2010 in court services, and I so move that.
Motion Renner, second Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
Our general report's found on pages 150 to 154.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Chairman Renner of the Justice Committee? None seen. Land Use and Development Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Land Use and Development Committee brings a number of items for action, total of three. Our first, E1A, request approval of an amendment of the McLean County Regional Greenways Plan that was previously approved on July 22, 1997. And I'll move that.
Motion Gordon, second Saldner. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
Item E1B is request approval of a County Watersheds Management Program intergovernmental agreement with the City of Bloomington, Town of Normal, and the McLean County Soil and Water Conservation District, found on pages 156 through 58 in your packet, and I'll move that.
Motion Gordon, second Ahart. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
Item E1C, request approval of a text amendment of Article 6, Section 602.19 of the Zoning Code concerning mining and quarrying, recommended by the Zoning Board of Appeals in case ZA-09-04, found on pages 159 through 165 in your packet, and I'll move that.
Motion Gordon, is there a second? Segoviano, questions, comments, or discussion? Member O'Connor.
Well, I've toyed with this thing back and forth. There are certainly good points on either side. I'm a little disappointed in this that we haven't heard anything from Unit 5 School Board about it. I understand their position. They don't like to be involved with zoning cases. But when we say safety first is our motto for children, I think it's time for them to step up to the plate. Since they're not going to, and I spent 34 years in a Unit 5 classroom, I'll tell you, I cannot imagine having a gravel pit across the street from my classroom. It just doesn't comprehend up here that we can do this to kids. I personally don't want my students near a gravel pit. I don't want my grandchildren near a gravel pit. I don't want to buy a house near a gravel pit. We have members of our family right now that are looking to buy a new home. They won't go near that until this is settled, simply because they do not want their children anywhere where they can play near a gravel pit or go to school near a gravel pit. All I have to do is say, think about the safety of children first. They are our greatest resource. If this thing goes through and one child in McLean County is harmed in any way, that will be on the conscience of every member of this board. Think about that. Thank you.
Member Rankin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I couldn't concur anymore with Member O'Connor.
This issue has been obviously a lightning rod in the community. And based on the findings of fact, my fears weren't settled. Based on the findings of fact, and anybody, and hopefully most of the county board members were able to, if they weren't able to attend, like myself, at least to listen to the ZBA hearings that were posted online. And the information that was given, there was a lot of evidence by one side. There was testimony on both. And in the case where we need to have a clear picture of how far a specific setback should be, we sent forward a recommendation to the ZBA, and the ZBA softened the recommendation. Not only did they take our 1,000 feet, but they softened it back to 500 feet. Now, before, the last time that this came before the full board, I had made some, I felt, common sense complaints that a compromise from the current ordinance that is obviously in place as of today is a mile and a half. So our compromise has been 500 feet. I'm not sure, I'm only a lowly political science professor, but I think that the word compromise is a little lost here. I am certainly worried about the safety of the children. I am certainly worried about property values. I'm worried about everything when it comes time to this area. And because it is in my backyard and my children will be affected by this, I certainly cannot in good faith support this zoning ordinance. So this is at this time why I would suggest that I would like to amend the proposed text amendment to remove the section under 19E1. The separation requirement shall be 1,000 feet or 500 feet with adequate noise mitigation or an abatement plan. My amendment would be to remove that and replace it with one half mile, or a half a mile, property line to property line. And let me give you some example, or some reasons why. First off, the half mile is at least a compromise. And it is even not halfway from one half mile to 500 feet. The property line to property line makes it so enforcement would be easier. It would be simple to see if anyone is in violation, if in fact their gravel pit is spilling over a specific property line. Under this plan, you have to go out and measure 500 feet to 1,000 feet to 2,000 feet, and all of a sudden we have a whole bunch of variables that are involved here. I would strongly recommend that members of this board understand that a compromise is necessary, and this will still allow the county to conduct its business in a thoughtful and logical way. Do you need any clarification on the amendment?
Are you changing only the 500/1,000 foot guidance found in the second paragraph of E1?
It would also
one half mile?
It would also require that the third paragraph, the separation requirement shall be 2,000 feet or 1,500 feet with adequate noise mitigation. That would move to a half mile property line to property line as well, to make it one contiguous ordinance where we're not having different setbacks for different reasons. One easy to understand ordinance that is a compromise. Yes.
So technically, paragraph 3 could be struck at that point.
And that's fine with me too.
Is that accurate?
If we're going under just the yes.
Am I missing anything? All paragraph 3 does is it establishes a setback for nearest resident or school lot.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Please.
And perhaps a point of inquiry to Member Rankin.
Yeah.
The third paragraph, that is the second one at the top of page 162, third in section in this section, makes, I believe, separate reference to some other aspects of the... I'm sorry. Member Rankin, I'm wondering if those paragraphs need to be combined under terms of your amendment so as to make explicit reference to storage piles, washing, screening, and so on.
Yes, that's acceptable to me.
Yeah. I don't think we ought to delete
the language. I'm just the bus driver. I'm trying to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah. And the kids are already a little noisy.
All right.
I know.
So for the purposes of the amendment, all references to distance in the second and third paragraphs of section E1 shall be changed to 1/2 mile, lot line to lot line?
Yes, sir.
Or property line to property line? Is that clear? We have a motion or an amendment, Rankin, a second to the amendment, Renner. Questions, comments, or discussion on the amendment? Member Segbiano.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion in regards to this motion here, and I would hope that we could get all the discussion in regards to this proposal out and before the public before we vote on this amendment, because I think there's others who want to speak in regards to this. So rather than change it now, we hold this in abeyance until everybody has been heard in regards to this issue.
Excuse me. That's actually, I mean, I guess at this point, that's up to the motion maker. If the motion maker is open to ongoing debate on the primary motion first, with the understanding that he gets another bite at the apple with this amendment before we close, that's fine with me.
Then I would, at this time, call the question.
On the amendment?
Yes. If nobody wants to discuss, then I'll call the question. I would like discussion to ensue on my amendment.
I think this is... I'm going to rule that out of order. This issue is too important for that. I think the question that Mr. Segbiano had was whether or not a broader discussion can happen other than just the confines of this amendment first, and then have a chance to put the amendment back on the floor.
That is acceptable.
For the record, we'll withdraw the amendment at this time and grant leave to Mr. Rankin to bring it back at the end of discussion. Member Segbiano, discussion on the primary motion.
I just reserve my time for that. I just want to make that plea that other discussion will take place. If no one else is going to speak up.
Other discussion on the primary motion. Well, Mr. Segbiano, you got your wish. You're up.
Thank you. You know, I took the opportunity to attend all of these hearings, and I think that we owe a great deal of gratitude to our Zoning Board of Appeal. They sat through numerous hours and gave everyone the opportunity to present their case. No one was denied the opportunity to speak, and they were all put under oath and swore to tell the truth. And I'm sure they did that. I have no doubt in my mind. And a lot of it was personal feelings. But what we're talking about here today is an amendment for McLean County, entire McLean County, not for Fox Creek subdivision. And that's what the developer of Fox Creek wants us to do here today, is to protect them. And without even knowing, none of us sitting here today know the ramification that such an amendment would impact on the rest of McLean County and the mineral deposits are here. One of the testimonies that really enlightened me was by Mr. David Stark. And he was there, really has a very large vested interest in mining here in McLean County. And he talked about every foot, every acre that we move back or that we cover up results in 25 to 35 years of gravel extraction that will remain there forever. Our own highway engineer testified failure to extract the gravel that we have here in McLean County will lead to additional costs for contractors, developers, our own highway department. And he gave the number of tons of gravel that they use here in McLean County that's going to drive up the cost. He did allude to the fact that we have to import white rock, and I really don't know what that is, to tell you the truth. But the rest of it comes from right here in McLean County and holds down the cost for the building. We live in expanding McLean County here, and it's going to require additional materials and minerals to meet that goal. I think the most disappointing thing about using the safety factor of the children. I think it's absurd that they had gone to that tactic and talked about the safety of the children. Now, it may be antiquated history, but what we're trying to create here is class welfare. And I mean that in all honesty, because not only myself, but a number of families in the 40 acres raised our entire families within three gravel pits.
All of them started to cheer in school. At no time was there any outcry about the safety of our children, the noise, the dust. They all went to school, they all played outside, they all got an education, and I'm happy to say most of them are either businessmen or well employed. But no one cared about those kids on the west side. And those homes were there forever. You can check the city records. There was no complaints about the noise and the dust. We were concerned about the safety of our kids for a number of reasons. Don't play in the street. You know, watch out for cars. But the gravel pits were never taken into consideration. It was just a way of life. But they were blue-collar people working hard, providing for their families. But nobody cared. Now, if you look at what they're using these children for, the scare tactics, go to Unit 5 of Sugar Creek School. Just go out there today. That huge development out there, noise and dust is going on. School goes on. No one from the opposition has gone to Unit 5 and said, we got to stop it. We got to close this down. If you go to Metcalf School in Fairchild, all the construction that's going on at ISU campus, no one has tried to shut down ISU and the building programs out there. No one has tried to shut down Metcalf School. No one in Unit 5, even an employee of the town of Normal, who works, you know, and opposes this, has gone and said, we got to protect the children at Metcalf School. No one. So what are we talking about here? The well-being of our children? There isn't a person in this room does not care about their children and their well-being. But to use them as a fear tactic is totally, totally wrong. I think we have to look at what the Zoning Board of Appeal did, sitting through hours and hours. And I was there when they went point by point by point. And each point received the unanimous vote. Consequently, they come to us with a unanimous proposal. They're recommending approval of this. They listen to expertise on both sides. One side accepts them, the other side rejects them. This side accepts, this side rejects. We were remiss ourselves in not hiring our own expert. But we perhaps would have hired this gentleman right here, I don't know. But he didn't have any extra ground. He just come in and he was hired by Stark Excavating because he really has a commitment out there and a large investment. And this could greatly affect him. Not only him, but the future McLean County and our needs here. So I think we need to give a lot of credit and a lot of credence to the information that was disseminated by the Zoning Board of Appeal and their action. There again, they went point by point by point. And they gave every member of the board an opportunity to be heard. And it came out unanimous. None of us here are experts. None of us. None of us know the ramifications starting these huge setbacks. And I guess you know what fits Fox Creek may not fit somewhere else. But I remind you that we are adopting a change for McLean County. And let's take the fear factor out of it, and let's put logic into it, and let's protect the minerals that we have here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Kaisley.
I think the point is well taken, that what we are considering here is an amendment to the text. It applies all over McLean County. It would apply to a proposed gravel pit in Lawndale Township or in Yates Township or in West Township where there are not very many people living. But it applies countywide, and it does not specifically apply to Fox Creek. We are talking about a general regulation that would cover the entire county. And when you take a look at this, even with a 500-foot setback with adequate noise mitigation and abatement plan, that means that if you had an 80-acre farm that was 100% underlaid with gravel, you would only be, and assuming that you had a residence on either side of it, you would only have 320 feet in the middle of the farm to mine gravel. So this is a very restrictive proposal here and is certainly not overly broad. And to do it property line to property line, suppose you have, you own a whole section of land, and one corner of it is within a half a mile of a residence or a school, then the entire piece of property would be disqualified from consideration for a gravel pit. And I think that that is burdensome, it's overly restrictive, and among other things, it's going to cost the county a good deal of money in the highway department if we have to import all of our road aggregate from Livingston County, from their limestone quarries up there, when we have gravel right here in our own backyard. Consequently, I think that we should go along with the proposal. Our Land Use and Development Committee made this proposal. It was studied by the Zoning Board of Appeals. It was unanimously adopted by the Zoning Board of Appeals. I was concerned about the slope requirements, but after looking at the slope requirements in the proposed amendment, I think that they're reasonable. Several times during my career as a judge, I had subsidence cases for people who were in the vicinity of gravel pits and clay mines and what have you. And I think that is a legitimate concern, but I'm convinced that the slope requirements that are set forth in the proposal are reasonable, and I think that it's a reasonable amendment.
Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a point of clarification. The text amendment that was set forward by the Land Use and Development Committee and this board was further amended by the ZBA. What we sent forward did not include any references to 500 feet or 1,500 feet. We sent the 1,000 and 2,000 feet distances. The ZBA then proceeded to add the language that's in bold print in paragraph 2, paragraph 3, that is the first two paragraphs on 162.
Thank you. Member Solner.
Refer to what Member Gordon just said, I also wanted to mention that the Zoning Board, or the Zoning and Land Use Committee, passed that amendment with not a majority. In other words, there was quite a bit of debate also for that amendment. But I want to get back to what Member Segabiano said and Member Casely. This is a zoning change for the entire county. I wonder if any board members have spoken to anyone in the rural areas. I know that the members in the districts in the rural areas have done that, but I've talked to citizens of Leroy, Downs, Saybrook, places that already have gravel pits. Some of them are not in operation now, but there's some concern from them that if this passes, that all of a sudden some of these gravel pits will be active again, they'll move closer to town, and then schools on the edge of those towns will have the same problem that we're looking at Fox Creek. They're also concerned that if this does happen, there'll be litigation from citizens complaining about the distances, litigation they can't afford to protect themselves from. Also want to mention that I'm not really convinced that there is a gravel shortage. I serve as township supervisor of Dawson Township. Before I came, I pulled some bills from years past. I believe it was 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago to the day, the price of gravels went up about $1 a ton. That's not a big increase. Obviously, as time goes by, more gravel will be mined, but I think that the pits that are in place now can handle more gravel, and as I said, there's other pits that could be opened. Lastly, I just want to mention that the first mistake, if you want to call it that, I believe was the siting of the school in the Fox Creek area. If we'd have had a comprehensive plan that showed specifically where gravel was, there's some talk about an overlay plan. I think if we could specifically say where gravel is, keep development away from those areas, I think that's what we need to do. We're going to adopt a comprehensive plan. There's a few changes that are going to be made. That plan needs to be strengthened and shown where gravel is, and we want to make sure that schools, towns, subdivisions stay away from those spots that have mining and minerals. As I said, I think the argument about the safety of children is something we have to keep in mind. Member Segamiano mentioned that there was no injuries, no deaths at the White Oak pits and those areas. That's been some time ago. Children nowadays are different than they were now. We've got families that both parents work. They don't have the supervision that they had, and I think it's something that we ought to keep in mind. Thanks.
Thank you, Member Renner.
Certainly we're going to be disagreeing about some things today, but I think the things that we all agree on is that everybody wants to have growth and economic growth in McLean County. We certainly don't want to add costs. I do agree with Member Segabiano that we really don't know what the repercussions are going to be. There's some contradictory evidence, perhaps, on the impact of dust or noise. There certainly is something that I would have liked to see more of, and that is the impact on property values, or even not just the sale price, but also the duration of time that it takes to sell a house. I think that there are many of these things that we don't really have firm answers on. My thought on that is, if there is any question, if we are not sure, then we should err on the side of protecting the residents of McLean County. And that's why there was some testimony by a gentleman who was at EPA for 20 years who suggested a half mile, something that this board actually had considered a couple of times, including at land use. So that's one of the reasons why I will be supporting the amendment to this text amendment that indicates a half mile. If there is any question, let's err on the side of protecting our residents. The other thing is the property line to property line issue, there still is a possibility of having special use permits. So it doesn't mean that that would be prohibited. It just means the people who wanted an exception would have to go through that process.
Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to touch on what Member Soldner has brought up, the time that I served on transportation, which was my first 4 years on this board, I don't recall, and I don't recall from testimony given, that when we did have gravel pits that the costs of our roads went down. We were seeing them either coming in majority of the time either right on the nose or a little bit above what we were projecting the cost would be, and very rarely did the cost ever come in below what was projected by our highway department. I don't see that, and if we had more gravel pits, would the cost go down? I don't know that. But again, when we've seen it in the past, when we've had them, and I don't see that the cost going down, because there's other costs. Labor costs go up, fuel costs go up to haul it, even if it's within the county. So again, that's the point I'd like to make, and I appreciate Member Soldner pulling some of those files in the past. So again, that's where I stand on the debate of, well, if we have gravel, it's going to make our costs go down. I don't see where that can be the case.
Member O'Connor?
About the issue of the construction going on current school buildings, that's going to end. I mean, in a few months, that'll be over. But this gravel pit is going to be there for a long time. It is an attractive nuisance to children. I know, I used to swim in those quarries as a kid, and I still have the scars on my legs to show you how dangerous they are. I cannot, in any shape, manner, or form, think that one belongs across the street from a school. I personally have a vested interest in a gravel pit, and I still don't think they belong across the street from a school. We have plenty of gravel in McLean County. We have wonderful resources, so take it from somewhere else and leave this subdivision alone. Keep those kids in a school where we don't have to worry about it. Thank you.
Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to take note of some language in the text amendment as it was recommended back to us by the Zoning Board of Appeals. The reference to 500 feet and 1,500 feet. This morning when I was driving to the board meeting, I took my usual route, which is coming down Clinton and then turning west on Front, heading for the parking lot. I'm not sure that we would be comfortable if, for some reason, this board had to hold an open-air meeting in the parking lot across East Street, because as 500 feet is just under 1/10 of a mile. I watched my odometer carefully, one eye on that, one eye on the traffic, as I was heading for the parking lot. And a 1/10 of a mile from the parking lot is just west of the intersection of Front Street and Gridley. And I'm not altogether certain how comfortable we would be holding an open-air county board meeting 500 feet, which is just about that distance, from a gravel pit at Front and Gridley. Now, that example may be, the illustration may be a little bit of a stretch if you took it literally. But my point is that 500 feet is not a very long distance. 528 feet is 1/10 of a mile. And that distance, I find, I don't find that distance to be an operable basis for passing it in this form.
Member Ahart.
I think we're still confused here in that the issue isn't the Fox Creek gravel pit. The issue at hand is whether we are amending our zoning ordinance to affect any mining and quarrying that might happen in our future. And we have to separate those two. I have always heard, government's reactionary as opposed to proactionary. And the fact of the matter is, we're reacting here. We're reacting to fear tactics. We're reacting to concern that we all have for our children and for the safety of our children. But that doesn't mean that we should jump on board to make a limiting or a stopping decision to future mining and quarrying. I would like us to refocus and keep in mind we're just talking about our zoning ordinance here. And who we trust with our zoning ordinance is the Building and Zoning Board of Appeals. We give them an opportunity to hear all the testimony, and I listened to their testimony, what they heard, and I am amazed at the amount of information they take in, they weigh, and they make a decision based on their best expertise and experience accordingly. And I am not necessarily for the Fox Creek gravel pit, but I certainly am for listening to our experts who have heard the expert testimony and have determined that this is what we should do for our zoning ordinance. Thank you.
Member Knuckles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can appreciate the points and arguments made on both sides of this issue. I can appreciate Member Sigabiano's comments and his concerns as well. Member O'Connor, I also swam in those gravel pits, and I think Member Sigabiano may have also. I know his kids did. I was with them sometimes. however, in the grand scheme of things, I will agree with Member Rankin. I think he made some very, very valid points. It's acceptable argument, acceptable compromise. We've been discussing this for quite some time now. Originally, I was against this totally, and I kept my mind open. I listened to a lot of the arguments, and overall, I think that you bought a. I know we're not voting on this right now. The amendments hasn't been accepted yet, but when it is, I would agree with Member Renner and Member Rankin, and probably Member O'Connor as well. And accept that and probably vote on that side.
Member Rankin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I like the points that were brought up by Member Ahart, but I would like to kind of set the stage here is that, yes, we are not specifically talking about the Fox Creek gravel pit. However, the Fox Creek gravel pit is an excellent example of if, in fact, we were to go with this proposed ordinance, this is the type of slippery slope that we get into. So while we are not crafting an ordinance specifically to fit one gravel pit, it is a lightning rod example of what we're going to get from members in the community and part of the problems and dangers that come from a gravel pit being that close. So while while I agree that this is an ordinance that is specifically written for the county and in general, we do have to look at this and the members of at least the Fox Creek community when they suggest that, hey, listen, if you do this, this could easily place a gravel pit in my backyard. So that's why I think it's very useful that this actually came about at the time that it did, because it can show you, right, how difficult this could actually be. Right? And I believe that this is a solid example and one that you should base your opinion on.
Thank you. Member Rakauskas.
Thank you, Chairman. I, too, have listened to a lot of testimony. I've done a lot of reading, and I've spent a lot of years concerning land use, over 13 years, listening to different issues and zoning, et cetera. I'll start from one end and work around. How's that? Mr. Segoviano, I think what you're talking about is tolerance, and you talk about growing up near a gravel pit and everything was fine and dandy. You know, I grew up where there was smoking in doctor's offices. Patients smoked with oxygen even sometimes in their rooms. And heaven forbid, but they even smoked in churches. Now, if you ask our children, they would be horrified to know that we walk down the grocery store line picking our groceries and having a cigarette hanging out the other end. We all survived. A lot of us did, okay? It's called tolerance and education, okay? The dust issue, noise issue, okay? Yes, many years ago, there was a lot of things we tolerated. We tolerated Holocaust. We tolerated poverty and depression without eating. There's a lot of things a human being can tolerate and still survive. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about quality of life. I hear this all the time. Look at the money we put into building coliseums. We just passed a Greenways, I believe. And one of the interesting facts here, it says, protect environmentally sensitive areas. Well, if a school is not an environmentally sensitive area, I don't know what is. I can tell you, I think my children are more important than that fish. So I'm having a hard time because I think, and I appreciate what you say, Mr. Segoviano, but I think it's tolerance. And education teaches us what we have to live with and what we don't have to live with. Another thing is, and was brought up by Jim, we do need that mapping of our resources so we can make better decisions. I would hope we would be progressive in our thinking and start realizing we just don't put schools where we can get free land or because they're part of an agreement, but we look at all the environment and what can be the best choice. And when you say Fox Creek, it's the whole county, you're exactly right, Mr. Rankin, in the fact that it is an example that we didn't think maybe when we put that school there. Maybe under that school there is a wonderful quarry ready to be mined. So should we take the building down to get to the quarry? No, of course not. But there is kind of squatter's rights, in a sense. The school was there first, before this mining issue came up. We do have other areas where there is, where we're able to mine. If it was the only plot of land that was within 500 feet of a school or residence where we could get quarry for our county, then we would create a variance. That's why we have variances to ordinances. That's why we have that provision. So you're not totally excluding those farm owners because of their type of land. They can always come and apply for a variance. But you're protecting the public, having wider parameters and greater distances. And when you talk about 500 feet, just think about where you live, where the average front lot line is 120 feet. So close your eyes, visualize you're in your front yard, and count down four doors to your neighbor. That's 500 feet. You can go through all the statistics you want, and statistics, you know, on noise and dust, but then it comes down to where the hell is common sense? Which isn't too common at all. So I really plead. We listen to the people. We were elected to listen to the people. I've had many, many phone calls. I've listened to them. They are trusting that we represent them. We are their voice. That is our main opportunity and responsibility here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Member McIntyre.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you to all of my colleagues for the extra research you've done and the great points and issues that have been involved here. I'd just like to make a point, too, and I concur with Member Ruskowskis. This has been a timing issue, and it is definitely an issue. And I ask the question, if an operating gravel pit was there, would developers have built the subdivisions there? No, but they, because of that, you know, and it wasn't operating, and there wasn't a gravel pit, they did. Would Unit 5 have built a school? Probably not. Same issue involved. It was a squatter's rights. It was a timing thing. This ordinance, and we've all talked about this, and we know this, is definitely a site-specific issue as well. And it's going to happen more in a county as we go on. The Zoning Board of Appeals, I think, will end up reworking this again sometime. We'll end up addressing this issue again sometime. It's definitely going to require sometimes special use permits. But the fact of the matter is we have to protect the citizens and what has happened so far. I try to put myself in the place of the people that are out there, the homeowners and so on. And we all have personal experiences that we can relate to this issue. And so I have to think about what the issue was. Would I have bought a house if there was one built there? So developers have to make those decisions as well. Down the road, that's going to happen. But we have to have some kind of concrete guidelines that protect the citizens as we go. And then if we want to adjust from there, we can.
Thank you, Member Renner.
Again, I said this many times, we're a county that's 1,200 square miles. We're the size of Rhode Island, and I do realize that we're making rules for the entire county, and I guess I don't really have a problem with at least our standard operating procedure being something that's further than 500 feet, whether it's a school or a residence from a gravel pit, whether or not it's in southeastern McLean County, whether it's in northwestern McLean County. I don't know, how much closer can it be than 500 feet? So I would urge us to, as we consider the amendment to the text amendment, to consider the half mile.
Member Segabiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple comments. One is, you know, and there again, attending every meeting and listening to it, the mapping process, it didn't come from anybody here. It really came from one of the proponents of on the issue. He was the one that made the statement that we should do an overlay. And it came out of the hearings. I mean, it didn't come from any suggestion from any board members, but it came from one of the proponents that said we should do this in order to prevent this kind of a discussion. And some of the discussion I've heard here, and I know I'm the only member of this board who was present when we were trying to site a landfill, and about 95% of the board agreed that the Randolph site was the site for a landfill because at that time the county had brought all the expertise in and verified that's where it ought to go. But when he looked outside the room and there was a packed house, I remember one board member said, I can't vote against these people because that's where it needs to be, but I'm not voting against those people. So it got down. One board member said, you can have it in your backyard, but not mine. And consequently, it was voted down. And then on property values, I thought there was a very good presentation during the hearings that showed property values increasing. No property values decreased. None. And that was presented by a former employee of McLean County who made the presentation. And I know our state's attorney, assistant state's attorney, was there and witnessed all this. So I'm not fabricating anything that on the slideshow, it showed that property values actually increased. I don't know if anyone in here has ever received a property bill from McLean County that said decreased in value. At least I haven't. If you have, tell me how that's going to be done. But, you know, we're going to get on. We're going to take a vote. But I just think that we certainly should commend the Zoning Board for their time, effort, and energy in addressing each one of these issues. There again, I'm not an expert, but I can speak from experience. And whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30, I don't think anything ever changes about your love for your kids or the school that they go to. And, you know, we compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. You know, time does not diminish what you experience. It only enhances your ability to react to situations today. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Cavallini.
I'm sure that many of us have probably read the short story by Edgar Allan Poe, The Pit and the Pendulum. I feel like, in a way, we're all in the pit, and the pendulum is swinging. I'm really conflicted in this issue. I have to admit, being on the Land Use Committee and the Transportation Committee, that these groups have spent a great deal of time, even to the point of taking a field trip to see the operation of a gravel pit by Springtown Road. And I know for me that was a very enlightening and informative field trip. I had never been to a gravel pit before. I had a mental image of what I thought they were and how they operated, and it was, as I said, very enlightening and informative for me to help make a decision. The committee, the Land Use Committee, spent a great deal of time and effort determining, you know, what the setback should be. And I don't know even now if there's a particularly magic number. People bring in experts, and one expert tells you one thing, and the other expert tells you something else. And I'm certainly not an expert, and so I'm trying to rely on information from the experts when, in fact, it seems to be contradicting. So it's a very difficult decision to make. I am concerned about this 500 feet. I mentally paced this from my house in Lexington down to about the end of the block to kind of visualize how far 500 feet would be. I have to tell you, though, I'm not comfortable with the half mile, but I'm also not comfortable with the current motion with the 500 feet. I don't know if there's something in between that everyone can live with. Maybe nobody can live with. But this is a very difficult issue. I certainly am sensitive to the people who have emailed me, who have called me. Obviously, they have and care a lot about their children, as well they should. We all do. But yet there's the issue of looking at this from the standpoint of the whole county instead of just relating it to one specific gravel pit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Member O'Connor.
Okay, one last comment here. I think all of us have heard from people all over the county. It isn't only the people at Fox Creek that I'm hearing from. It's people all over that are worried about, can this happen in my neighborhood? I live out in Ironwood. Can we find this huge amount of gravel out in that golf course? And whoa, let's mine it. People are concerned. We have been elected on this board to listen to the people. The people are making their voices well known. We've had the emails. We've had phone calls. The Pantograph has had a slew of editorials from people. I'm just asking you to represent those people in your districts and what you feel they really want you to do. Thank you.
Member Rankin?
I think at this time it's appropriate to amend my previous amendment. How do you call that?
You're asking for your second bite, huh?
Can we do what I did before? Yeah, could I resubmit? I want to submit my amendment at this time.
Very, very good. No, we already have a second. We'll let Mr. Gordon have it. We've got it was originally a Rankin Gordon. Oh, wasn't it? I apologize.
Doesn't matter. To which one of us?
At this time, we'll put the Rankin Renner amendment back on the floor. It amends paragraphs 2 and 3 of E1, section E1, to replace distances and measurements with 1/2 mile property line to property line. Is that accurate?
Yes.
That amendment's back on the floor. Is there discussion on that amendment? Member Renner.
Again, just to point out that pursuant to Member Kaysley's comment and Member Cavallini's, there still are possibilities, of course, for special use permits. So it doesn't mean that they're prohibited all properties would be prohibited. They need to just show just cause. So that's still possible, even under this half-mile restriction.
Other questions, comments, or discussion on the amendment? Moss?
One thing I think we need to keep in mind, that I think we have a pretty good chance of more Fox Creek scenarios popping up around the county. Because if I think about where you're going to see school buildings built, it's not going to be along Clinton Street in Bloomington or on Hovey Avenue in Normal. It's going to be out on the edge of town. It's going to be in the rural areas. For example, look out there along Route 150 where they're building the George Evans Middle School, out there in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know what size property they bought out there. I don't know if they have a half mile from property line to protect themselves. I tend to think not. But you're going to see scenarios like that popping up, not only around Bloomington Normal, but smaller communities too. If they're going to build new schools, they're not going to build in the middle of town either. They're going to go to the edge of town, out where there are rural areas, and there are lots of potential for some gravel pits under those farm fields. It's something to keep in mind.
I appreciate the comment. And actually, I had asked Mr. Lindberg a moment ago, and I don't know what the distance is, but from that new school building being built along 150, I guess I question what the current distance is from that current building site or the property line to the current operating land pit at Downs. It can't be too much more than a half mile, if it even does that, when you cut across the interstate. All that said, I mean, hence the question that Member Cavallini had, who knows exactly what the right number is. I'm solaced a little bit to know that the special use process still exists. Member McIntyre?
Exactly what we were talking about before. This is still going to end up being a site-specific issue, and eventually this ordinance is going to have to be reworked. Either that or there's going to be a lot of special use permits applied for, one or the other, as time goes on in the county. Even a half mile, though, in certain areas. I mean, and it's a timing issue because somebody's going to have to decide whether they want to put a subdivision there if there's a gravel pit or vice versa. But it's going to come up, and we know that. So it's something else to think about down the road for all of us. And the ZBA maybe should have addressed that some more, in my opinion.
All right. Member Rankin is chomping at the bit to call the question on on his amendment. I skillfully ignored him twice. So, three times. I ignored him so well I didn't even know about one of the times. Member Rankin has called the question on the amendment. It's the Rankin-Renner amendment, which amends Section E1 of the proposal to replace distances mentions in paragraph 2 and 3 with 1/2 mile, and the parameter being property line to property line. Is the amendment accurate, as stated? Thank you.
Point of inquiry. Point of information.
Please.
This would also then delete any reference to adequate noise mitigation abatement plan, since the 500 foot is coming out and the 1500 foot is coming out.
Sounds that way by the motion maker.
Thank you.
All right, the question has been called. I'm assuming roll calls in order. I'll ask the clerk to please call the roll. A yes vote concurs with the amendment as offered by Member Rankin, seconded by Renner. A no vote returns us to the primary motion that was discussed. Please call the roll.
Okay, Rakowskis.
Yes.
Rankin.
Yes.
Renner.
Yes.
Segabiano.
No.
Soldner.
Yes.
Wendt.
No.
Wohlrab is not here. Ahart.
No.
Bostic.
No.
Butler is not here. Casely.
No.
Cavallini.
No.
Gordon.
Yes.
Hasselton?
No.
McIntyre?
Yes.
Moss?
No.
Knuckles?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
9-8. The amendment passes 9-8. We now have on the floor the proposal as amended. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Segoviano.
Just one final comment, and when we talk about siting things and would you build a subdivision there, I was very impressed with the presentation of Carmel, Indiana. Very, very upscale community, and the pictures did not lie but spoke for themselves as they had asphalt plants and gravel pits just run right alongside these $300,000-$400,000 homes. It's just a beautiful subdivision and a beautiful layout, but that community knew that they had minerals and deposits there, and they were building lakes and gravel pits and asphalt plants, you know, just right in their backyard. It was a beautiful presentation, so it does happen. You know, maybe it's not going to happen here in McLean County, but other people see and use, you know, the minerals at their disposal. But I wish all the members of the board could have seen that presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Rakauskas.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Segoviano. One of the differences is the gravel pit was there before the development of the land. People had choices, and possibly the cost of land, their lots, were adjusted, being that they were near a gravel pit. I don't have that information. But those are things you do have to consider, is the horse cart theory.
Any other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Solnit.
Yes, I wanted to mention, too, I was on that field trip that land use and transportation took to the Stark pit. And I was surprised that at that particular time we didn't see a lot of dust. The noise level was acceptable. But there are other forms of mining. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that that is actually out in the middle of nowhere. It's quite a ways from residences. It's quite a ways from subdivisions. And I think that makes a big difference.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. We will call the question. Do I dare do a voice? Probably not. Let's roll call. A yes vote approves the proposal from the ZBA as amended. A no vote rejects the proposal. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rakauskas?
Yes.
Rankin?
Yes.
Renner?
Yes.
Segoviano?
No.
Soldner?
Yes.
Wendt?
No.
Well, Rab is out. Ahart?
No.
Bostic?
No.
Butler is out. Casely?
No.
Cavallini? Gordon?
Yes.
Hasselton?
No.
McIntyre?
Yes.
Moss? Knuckles?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Same. It's the same as the other. 9-8.
Passes 9-8. At this time, I'd like to thank two groups of people. I'd like to thank the members of this board for a healthy and orderly discussion on the topic, and I'd like to thank the gallery for decorum and patience with this discussion. Well, Member Gordon, you've used much more than your nickel, Chairman Gordon. Do you have any other items from Land Use Committee?
Perhaps thankfully, only our general report that can be found on pages 166 through 179. I'll be happy to take any questions, but not about the text amendment.
Are there any questions for Chairman Gordon of the Land Use and Development Committee? Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
We have no items to bring before the board this morning, and our general report's on page 180 to 184.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Chairman Bostic of the Property Committee? Thank you. Our next order of business is actually another fairly could be take a little bit of time. It's our budget proposal from the administrator's office. I'm going to suggest a 5-minute recess is in order to refill coffee cups and whatnot.
We
Ken, we have two members absent. Ken named at the next meeting called reconsideration this issue.
We need to check the rules. It may have to be people who voted on that.
I think
we'll have to check. We'll have to check.
Okay, thank you.
It's on my mind.
I'm going to do the short version.
There's a sentiment for that.
Can you really do the short version?
Yes. Yeah, he has two different versions prepared.
Yes.
Well, gee, don't be so enthusiastic there.
I'm going to vote for you next time.
Only $75 million.
You can't say so after.
Yep.
Hey, do you know how they voted on their card?
Yeah, they passed 9 votes yes and 8 no.
Good
one. 500.5 miles.
Okay.
Covered property. So.
Do you know which board members?
I'm not so sure, but I know okay. Like. Yes, and the guy who was here, yes.
Okay.
No,
about Terry Renner.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if
hey, Terry.
How oh, yeah, I was going to figure it out.
Stay on the list of this. What are you saying, dude?
Much larger setback put in place, so it will actually have to be up to the gravel pit person to decide if it is cost prohibitive in order to develop.
Never enough.
The idea is to try and keep the gravel pit away.
The controversy was about the second day of Parker Line and other gravel paths along Aspen Street in school. The
to have
Please take your seats. Please take your seats. Are you suggesting that we move the meeting, Mr. Solner? Please take your seats. So is O'Connor.
Senior Sergeant Arms.
We'll go ahead and reconvene the meeting of the McLean County Board. Next item of business is report of the county administrator. Mr. Lindbergh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Given the lateness of the hour, I plan to be very, very brief this morning. We actually prepared two versions of the message. One is about 4,500 words long. The other is about 1,700 words long. I'll be using the shorter version, but I'd like you to refer in your budget books to pages Roman numerals 1 through Roman numerals 13. That's the full message. The recommended budget for fiscal year 2010 is balanced and complies with all applicable laws. I had a quote from FDR, and someone said, well, you ought to balance it. So the quote from Bill O'Reilly is, we're entering the no-spin zone here. There have been a lot of staff changes during this process, but all the new managers to a person have been really great to work with. I don't think it's any secret to anybody that we're living in a very tough economy, and it's affecting county government. This budget balances the needs of people who depend on the services we provide, people who we employ to deliver those services, and people who pay the taxes and fees to support those services. We found early in the budget process that it's not really just all about the numbers, it's about those people. The fiscal 2010 recommended budget for all funds totals $75,406,133, which is just a little less than 1% less than fiscal year 2009. The general fund total, the one we usually concentrate on, totals $31,786,195, which represents a decrease of 1.85% compared to the fiscal 9 budget. The overall property tax rate will also go down slightly. Our fiscal 2010 budget is built on moderate economic assumptions. The property tax will remain our single largest revenue source. We expect equalized assessed valuation growth during this year to be about 4.7%. We usually see 5.5% to 6% in McLean County, so this is a little less than normal. We'll gain about $161 million in new value across the county. There are 19 county funds permitted by state statute to levy a property tax. 11 of these have caps or limits on them according to law. The other 8 are allowed to set the rate at whatever it takes to meet their necessary expenses. Now, our proposed 2009 property tax levy for all of these funds, and you can see the max rates and the proposed rates there, our proposed 2009 levy for all these funds totals $32,004,032. This is an increase of $1,280,046, or 4.17%, over the adopted 2008 tax levy. However, this will result in an overall county property tax rate of 89.2 cents, which is four-tenths of a cent less than last year. What this means for a $165,000 home is that the county tax would be $490.56, just a little bit less than this year. And I want to point out that the county's share of a typical property tax bill is about 12% of the overall bill. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about the general fund. The fiscal 2010 recommended budget for the general fund is $31,786,195, a decrease of $597,833, or as I said earlier, 1.5 less than the fiscal 2009 adopted budget. I have to tell you that this kind of a decrease does not come easy. We didn't have a lot to spare earlier, and to get a 1.85% decrease requires a substantial amount of effort. The property tax levy in the general fund for next year will be $8,801,300. This is an increase of $378,260, or 4.5% over the prior year. For purposes of comparison, I can tell you that last year our general fund tax levy went up by about $859,000. We didn't do that this year. We looked for other places to cut. Obviously, I can tell you that virtually across the board, all of our revenue sources are down as well. Let's talk a little bit about the three major state sources of state intergovernmental revenue. We call them the big three: personal property replacement tax, state income tax, and sales tax. They didn't grow at all in 2008, And we learned that as we went through our financial report for the year ending December 31, 08. We thought they would increase in 2009, but they didn't. And we made adjustments during mid-2009 to correct our spending course based on that. Our fiscal 2010 estimate for the Big Three is 4.5% less overall than the 2009 numbers. I might add we're also taking a huge hit in interest earnings due to lower fund balances and much, much lower interest rates. Just to show you how significant this is, from fiscal 2007 to fiscal 2010, our interest earnings in the Treasurer's office alone have declined by over $600,000. This is big money. It's not easy to replace. It makes things difficult. We have over 50 different licenses, permits, fees, and fines in the general fund. Collectively, they'll be down about $100,000 or 2% over the prior year. Couldn't get through a presentation without talking about probation officer reimbursement. The state cut it by 41% or over $573,000 this year versus the prior year. We've gone from 50% reimbursement to 25% overnight. The governor did indicate last Thursday afternoon that he will restore probation reimbursement funds. We don't know when, we don't know how much. If that happens, we'll bring an appropriate action back to the body for your consideration. There are a few bright spots in the revenue picture. The sheriff's initiative to collect bond funds, to improve collection in bond funds, will result in at least a $50,000 gain there. Building permit fees are projected to total $425,950, including $325,000, which will come from two different wind farm projects. Parks and recreation fees are going to go up by $20,000 due to continuing strong demand for campsites and a substantial increase in special events such as triathlons. Well, to balance the budget, general fund expenditures needed to be cut to match the revenue decreases we're seeing. Let's look at it by category. Salaries and benefits will go down by 1.48% next year. Supplies and commodities will go down by almost 14%. Contractual services will increase by 4%. I'll tell you why later. Capital spending, reduced almost 37% in last year's budget, will be down another 37.2% in this year's budget. Of the 22 general fund departments, 15 of them will experience budget decreases totaling $861,944. Seven of the 22 departments will have increases combining for a total of $264,111. This will produce an overall general fund budget decrease of $597,833. Let's look a little bit at the individual departmental budgets. The county clerk's budget shows a 12.13% increase over fiscal 2009, and I think by now we all know that that budget runs on a four-year cycle that corresponds with election responsibilities. Fiscal year 09 is the low point. Fiscal year 10 is a congressional election year and will require additional outlays in supplies and contractual services. The circuit court budget increases by 3.8%, but the only reason that happens is because the circuit court will be adding two clerical positions to handle pretrial screening that used to be done as part of the public defender function and was done by two probation officers. So we'll continue to do the function and generate the revenue and keep frivolous things from getting to the PD's caseload, but we'll be doing it with two considerably lower level, lower cost positions than we've been doing it in the past. The sheriff's food service contract. This is why contractual expenses go up as a category. The sheriff recommended and the county board approved a private contract to provide food services. It will add $307,000 in contractual expenses, but it saves over $300,000 in direct food expenses that were in our commodities area and another $200,000 in salary costs. So on a net basis, that change will result in a $200,000 savings. There's also an item in information technologies. There's a $142,000 item there. It's our only major IT project next year, and this will upgrade our financial management software. The last time we did this was in 1989. The supervisor of assessments budget will decrease by 13.2%. This is due to the elimination of one more FTE. In the 10 years I've been with the county, we've decreased our staff count in that department by 4 FTEs. We're taking one more. There'll be a savings of $65,000. We won't be contracting out for a lot of geographic information services that we used to pay for. These are being done in-house, effectively and efficiently. Let's look to health department funds. The overall total for all health department budgets is $7,362,314. The combined tax rate for our three primary health department special revenue funds will decrease 2.8%. This is a trend that has been in place in the health department for 17 years. Bill's trying to race to keep up with me. When we cut the presentation down, we changed the order of the slides. But I think this is something that you ought to look at and recall, that for 17 years, our tax rates on an overall basis have gone down with our health department tax funds. The persons with developmental disabilities fund total $639,180, which is a 1.15% increase over the prior year. The TB care and treatment fund goes up by 2% over last year to cover medical and facilities cost increases. The major health department fund in this area totals $4.315.730 million. That's a 1.64% increase over the prior year, yet the health department fund property tax rate will decrease by a projected 2.69%. Mental health contractual services will be increased by almost $50,000. This will provide a modest amount of psychiatric services to the most needy in our community. State support for these services has virtually been eliminated. Support for the McLean County Drug Court program continues through a contract with Chestnut Health Systems that's funded out of the health department. There'll be a 1% increase there. Federal and state grants in the health department, which account for a significant portion of their overall spending, will increase by almost $61,000 to over $2.1 million. Let's look at the nursing home budget. The recommended budget for the nursing home totals $7,298,536, which is a reduction of 2.2% from the last year. Our recommended budget for the nursing home was prepared on the basis of an average daily census of 131 residents, a decrease from the current projection of 138 residents. This is something that is not specific to our nursing home, but it is a trend we're seeing in the area and in the industry. They're making room for those of us who are the next wave of residents. The private pay rate is calculated to increase from $144 a day to $152 a day. We'll remain the best buy in the nursing home business in our community. Let's look at the highway department funds. The total budget for the county highway department will be $9,547,000. This is a decrease of $684,000 from fiscal year 2009. Three of the four highway funds are supported almost exclusively by property taxes. They will be up a total of 2%. State motor fuel tax revenue will be down by $449,000 comparing fiscal 10 to fiscal 09. Spending for fuel, road construction, and equipment replacement is down compared to last year. Slide 49. There you go. I'll give you a quick overview of the Emergency Telephone Systems Board and METCOM budgets. The ETSB budget increases by 0.38% to $1,827,132. ETSB will contribute $1,027,813 to support METCOM. ETSB needs to maintain some fund balances to think in the future about required changes to telephone systems and other technology. The METCOM budget itself totals $2,502,922, up 3.9% from last year. McLean County's share of the METCOM budget increases from $630,000 last year to $672,478 this year. Personnel costs. When we started our budget process in May, we told everybody we expected there would be no funds for new positions. Well, little did we know what we'd be facing. Interestingly, though, nobody asked for any new positions. Everybody got the message and pitched in. general funding staff will drop by 12.8 full-time equivalent positions in fiscal year 2010. The fiscal year 2010 budget is based on a pay freeze for all merit employees. There is no funding for a January 1st across-the-board increase, nor is there funding for merit pay increases on employee anniversary dates. We have asked our four bargaining units to consider similar steps. Let's turn now to IMRF. The Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund experienced a $6.1 billion or 24.8% market loss on their investments last year. That may be familiar territory, at least in terms of the percentage loss for some of us. I will tell you, though, that IMRF remains one of the best funded and most stable public retirement plans in the country. However, with that kind of a market loss, the county's IMRF employee contribution rate will increase from 7.44% this year to 9.10% in 2010. We'll see a similar increase in the sheriff's law enforcement rate. Our early retirement incentive system accounts for 0.5% of this rate. You'll see more of an impact in future years, but be aware that that jump from 744 to 910 is virtually all having to do with market losses. Now I want to talk about our wellness program, and on a different background, this slide looks pretty sharp, but I do want to note that Jan Morris from our health department leads our nationally recognized county wellness program. This is something that has gotten attention from coast to coast, and we're right up there with Pitney Bowes and some of the private companies that are considered the bellwethers and the hallmarks of employee wellness. This program helps control our insurance costs, has a positive effect on our absenteeism. More importantly, maybe, the county's partnership with its employees, it's good for the budget and it's good for everyone's health. And I'm happy to tell you there will be no increase in employee health insurance premiums next year. Obviously, we wrestled with this long and hard to go to our people and say we're not going to find the money for pay increases or merit increases. It sure did give us some comfort to say, but we can tell you that your employee health insurance premiums will remain the same. And I don't think many organizations are in the position to say that. That's a lot of hard work on the part of the wellness people and on Bill's part as well. Well, as you know, when I get to the part about the five-year capital improvement program, it signals we're near the end. And it should be no surprise that it is a smaller and a lighter five-year CIP this year than it has been in past years. Our county buildings are well maintained. We've just completed a $10.1 million renovation project in the L&J. We have no major capital projects scheduled in our main buildings. We have money for maintenance and money for small emergencies, but we're going on the fact that they're in good shape. Parks and recreation projects have been deferred. There are things we want to do and need to do out there. We're deferring them for a year. There are four modest-sized capital projects in the nursing home. Finally, on our road program, the fiscal 2009 five-year road program had five projects, and the fiscal 2010 also has five projects. Interestingly, though, the total value of these five projects will decrease from $6.7 million in 2009 down to only $4.8 million in 2010. So even though the projects remain the same, the size and the dollar value will be less. Assembling a budget, especially when it's smaller than the previous year, requires a lot of patience and understanding, excuse me, on everybody's part. And we had that this year. We had people who were new to their jobs. Every single major special revenue fund had a new leader, and almost a third of our general fund departments had new leaders. These people brought enthusiasm and maybe innocence to their new tasks. But I want to thank everybody for working so well with us. I want to thank the elected officials, the department heads, the union officials, and all of our fellow employees for reminding us it's not just a matter of coming to work every day. We're the county. We care about each other, and we care about the people we serve. This has been a true team effort. I couldn't give Bill Wasson enough thanks for all the time he's put on this. We had two great interns this year. One came back. One couldn't find a job out in our economy, and he came back, Jason Carter. He was here for the second year. And Sarah Gerke, who has an MBA from ISU, we lost her late in the process. She became a full-time employee of the treasurer's office. And for the first time in 32 years, we will not be thanking Don Newby for putting all the books together for us. We got it done, though, thanks to Rich Gilliam, Corey Pearl, and Brad Runge. Mr. Chairman, members of the County Board, I'm pleased to present our fiscal year 2010 recommended budget to you for your consideration and review. I respectfully request that the recommended budget, the five-year capital improvement budget, and the 2009 combined property tax levy be referred to the appropriate oversight committees for review, and that the fiscal year 2010 recommended budget be laid on the table for public review and comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lindbergh, and thank you to all of your staff. Now be appropriate to take a motion to accept, refer, and lay on the table. Motion Owens, second Saldner. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Passes. I will admonish the committee chairman to schedule additional meetings as needed of your committees to get through your budget work in the roughly 60-day timeline that we have to do this. Appreciate your efforts as always. Is there any other business or communication to come before the McLean County Board? We have bills to pay, although I don't have a copy of them at my place.
Here you go.
Yes, you do. She's hiding.
She doesn't have them either.
They're there. She put them there.
Where? I don't have them. Thank you. I don't have a copy. I didn't have one.
That's that new auditor.
That's that new auditor. We have bills to pay totaling $5,805,261.36. Is there a motion to approve? Motion Cavallini, second Kaisley, to approve the bills as presented. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. And we are adjourned.
Thank you.